Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? Welcome back. This is Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, here as today's host of Startup Hustle, covering all things e-commerce, Amazon, entrepreneurship, really just getting into the stories of the founders and the reasons why they've built some of these amazing businesses. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Canva, where you go to collaborate and create amazing graphic design for free. Whether it's a presentation to share an idea, a video to launch your business, or a social post to start a conversation. With Canva, you can do and design anything. Discover the magic of visual communication and how Canva helps you create a lasting impact today. Visit canva.com to learn more. I listened to the origin story of Canva on How I Built This podcast, and her story, and I think her boyfriend that helped her build it is just really amazing. They're really just starting out with yearbooks and turned something into a $1 billion company, which is Canva. And made it attainable for all of us to kind of be able to design and create. It's really awesome. So canva.com to learn more. I'm really excited about today's guest. We're going to be talking about how to transform into a sustainable brand. And, he's talking before the show, we're always getting to know each other a little bit. And we're just talking about, he's like, oh, I don't know if there's that much about myself. I feel like sharing, you know, he just wants to talk about e-commerce, but I'm going to help him get into a little bit of his origin story. Rodrigo Gonzalez, coming out of Clearwater, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. I used to live in Clearwater myself, so we were just chatting about some of the nuances that is Clearwater. I'm sure it's an amazing place right now, coming into summer. So you guys, you're going to have a lot of fun. Just moved there in the last 6 months. Let's talk about you, like, you know, your life. I think we talked, Latin America being part of your heritage as well. I don't know all of the origins behind that story, but I'd love to just go back as far as you'd like to share. Maybe before you got into e-commerce, but were you in corporate? Did you always know you're going to be an entrepreneur? Like, what was your family life like? Just share with the audience a little bit about yourself, so that we can get to the point of where you created this brand.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I always say that my life is very boring, but, you know, maybe somebody will find it interesting.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I was born in Mexico. I come from a very diverse family. So I have my ancestry is Lebanese, Mexican, Spanish, French. So I'm just all over the place. My family, okay. I have family all over the world. So I think that I always wanted to create, you know, I'm always being okay on the creating side of things. My background is with business. I studied philosophy. And then I worked as a business consultant, as a quality manager, about what, 20 years ago, I came here for a wedding. One of my cousins was getting married, and there was a guy that I met at the wedding and he offered me a job. And,
oh, wow.
You know, so I've been here since then. So then I found the love of my life and got married. And next I knew, I had two kids. I married to a graphic designer. So she is really awesome graphic designer. She studied in some of the top art schools in Los Angeles. So
you're working where at that time when you guys meet?
Well, when we met, I was working as a quality manager for a company, you know, some corporate company.
Okay.
But I obviously had always wanted to find something. I found very easy to, you know, find weaknesses in companies and solve them. That's basically my strength, how to streamline lines and find, you know, better ways to run a company, right? So then in 2016, when she got pregnant with our first kid, she quit her corporate job. And she had been working there for 4, 5, 6 years or something. And she started freelancing.
Okay.
And at that time I was working for a company, consulting company. And then she started, all of a sudden she just started getting Amazon clients. At that time, I didn't even know anything about Amazon. Just like, you know, I go to Amazon, I shop in Amazon. I just didn't know, you know, it was a way to actually generate money.
Yeah.
So we started, you know, getting into, she started getting all these Amazon, sellers trying to get logos from her, package design. She has a very strong background on print design. So packaging and stuff like that. And, that's how I started getting into Amazon, you know, and all of a sudden I became myself an Amazon seller as well, you know, and then.
Did you start with wholesale or did you start bringing your own products? Like what was your first move?
Private label.
Private label?
Yeah.
Okay. You started with private label?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I started. So, and then my, she started getting a lot of clients just out of, word of mouth. And all of a sudden, you know, I saw the opportunity there. I was like, she was having a really hard time dealing with that many clients. So I jumped in and used my skills and we made it into a business. At the beginning, we were doing listings and, photography, lifestyle photography. We were doing anything to do with listings, A+ content, everything, right? So we used to go to... conventions and, all that kind of stuff. Then when the pandemic hit, I was living at that time in Vancouver, Washington, just right above Portland. It became really difficult to do photography, lifestyle photography and photography because of all the regulations they had there. So then we started kind of moving away from photography and we started getting more into branding, because that's always been our strength, is branding, right? So when I say branding, it's not just the name of your company or your logo. A brand really is a person's gut feeling about a product, service, or company, right? It's not what you say it is, it's what they say it is.
Right.
Right. So branding entails a lot of stuff, not just design. That's only one thing about branding. That's the face of the brand, right? So Nike is the logo, is the colors, is the photography style.
The slogan, the history.
The slogan. But you get more into, when you get more into branding, it's also the way you position yourself, right? So Nike positions themselves as for athletes, as this inspirational company. Then is the messaging, right? So we started just really, really focusing on branding. And now we are, basically, that's what we do. We do branding. We are basically the company to go if you want to gain brand awareness, brand loyalty, brand enthusiasm. we work mainly with sellers, 7- and 8-figure sellers, or sometimes even startups, not Amazon startups, more like venture, you know, backed type of startups, right? But Amazon sellers, 7- and 8-figure sellers. And this started because we started seeing that a lot of Amazon sellers, when they get to a specific point of success, they want to reach out of Amazon because Amazon might be the best, platform to get started. It might be a great platform to become a millionaire, but it's so hard to become a mainstream brand on Amazon, right?
Yep.
They just make it really hard because the customers are not your customers. They are their customers. So when companies are trying to move away from Amazon, or not necessarily move away, but, you know, reach out beyond, like try to establish their website, try to get a following base, it just becomes really complicated for them. And they hire companies, marketing companies, and marketers, unless they actually do it properly. But when they do marketing, they forget sometimes about the proper research that goes into creating a brand that actually is going to connect with the target audience, right? So that's basically what we do. We solve that problem. When people are trying to reach out beyond Amazon, they're trying to sell their company. They're trying to expand their influence. So we help them as a branding design consultancy studio to get to that goal.
Let's talk about some of the nuances because, you know, Marknology is in a similar space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about some of the nuances that are different from even like a D2C product or a product that's on a retail shelf versus a lot of the products that start on Amazon. For me, what comes to mind is packaging, right? Like you can sell a product on Amazon in a brown box, getting started, you know, with private label or being a big seller in that way. But that box is never going to sit on a retail shelf as it is.
That's right.
So, you know, if you want to start being picked up by retail, if you want to start, you know, D2C is its own beast altogether. But that's one of the things that really stands out to me is the difference between an e-commerce brand and a retail brand is a lot of times the packaging and the investment into that. What are your thoughts on some of that? You said your wife's background was around like kind of package design and things like that.
Yeah.
How important do you think that is in regards to creating a sustainable brand on or off Amazon?
Right. So when you're trying to reach out to, you know, let's say Costco, right? Target, that you don't want to sell on their website, but you actually want to sell on their shelves, right? They're going to look more than just your packaging. They're going to look a lot of different things. And that's actually why we are getting into sustainability, because if people really want to reach out to the shelves of Target, Costco, you know, Costco works a lot with sustainable brands, and we'll get into that. But so let's start with this first. When you sell on Amazon, you don't need an amazing brand strategy to be successful. I mean, let's just be honest, right? Because you're using the Amazon brand.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand, because when they move away from Amazon and they are like, oh, I don't understand why I'm not selling so well and I'm hiring this marketing company and so forth. And, you know, on Amazon, I'm number one seller in all these different categories. And we say, yeah, but you're using the Amazon branding effect. That means when people go on Amazon, they don't go there to buy from you. They think they're buying from Amazon. Even when they're buying Nike shoes, they still think that they are buying from Amazon, right? Because Amazon has created this brand trust. It's all directed to consumers and how to spoil consumers with same day shipping and easy returns and, you know, guarantee that whatever you're gonna get is going to be good, or you can just return it and get something else, you know? So when you're trying to reach out to, you know, companies like Costco and Target, you have to have a well-established brand. You have to have a correct, you know, it's not just about your logo again, but let's say your packaging has to be consistent. The colors of your packaging has to be consistent. The messaging of your company, right? Target is not going to accept something that just looks okay. It's going to go accept something, especially like if you're trying to sell shampoo in Target, right? Well, what is going to be your angle? How are you special, right? So if you just sell an okay, you know, product that I can find somewhere else, well, there's no reason why Target will choose you over others, right?
Right. And there's something I've been finding, just literally had a call right before this one. But this is something I'm seeing over and over and over again is if you want to be carried in Home Depot, if you want to be carried in Target, if you want to be carried in Walmart, if you want to be carried in Kroger or Whole Foods, a lot of times they're looking to your online sales before they'll take you in store too, as yeah. well. So mm-hmm. Target.com or HomeDepot.com, I know for a fact, they're like, you know, sell on our marketplace first, which is, you know, Target.com or HomeDepot.com. If you do well, that's how they're now making buyer decisions on what to carry in their store. And then that's where the questions come in of your packaging and all these kinds of things. But you almost have to do a good job, you know, telling that brand story or why your product is the best shampoo or why they should have you online, even off Amazon, to be picked up in stores. And that was something that Amazon did first whenever they, you know, with Vendor Central and 1P, they were bringing in brands, you know, all the big brands onto Amazon in the early days. They didn't make them actually learn e-commerce. They were just buying, you know, making human-to-human relationships, saying, hey, we'll buy $1 million of inventory and POs, bringing those products in and shipping them on Amazon. That's why the customers are confused now, because it's changed from that. But Amazon said, hey, we're not going to do all of the work anymore like we used to on 1P. We need you now to figure it out on 3P, meaning how do you send product in and how do you do photos and how do you list them? You need to list them yourselves and all these things. Well, a lot of other retailers and marketplaces are following suit to what Amazon did. Why should they have the manpower to do that when they can get these brands, you know, to do it for them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just something I'm finding as I look to brands that are expanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, they are going to look at your online sales, but they also going to look at, you know, your following. And here's the most important thing. If you have okay online sales, but you have a huge social media following, okay, and you have a engaged, you know, following, that's gonna be a very key factor for them to decide if they should take you in.
And yes,
we have seen it with several companies. I think
if you focus,
it's not so much of how popular you are, but you know, you have a lot of engagement with your social media. People like you, people like your story. Yeah, of course, you have a very good, I mean, provided that obviously you might have some product that doesn't sell anywhere else and it's great product. So yeah, of course, you know, but I'm just talking about the average Joe, you know?
Yeah, totally. And honestly, brand building is the hardest thing to do in business. So
right,
regardless of channel, I mean, I think right. brand building is the hardest thing to do. It's what everyone tries to do. It's what everyone wants to do. Amazon sellers being the one exception, probably that didn't have to do that in order mm-hmm. to be successful.
Yeah.
But for the, you know, as long as time can go back, brand building has, or having a brand has existed, reputation, right? Before as brand, it was reputation, business reputation. So these things are, you know, stuff that should be on everyone's mind, you know, all the time. And I think if anyone's looking to say like, hey, who should we pick? They're going to pick the company that's standing out on their own without a lot of help, you know, that's got the big social following, that's got the good product reviews. Why should they take risks, you know, based on conversation when they can look at what the market is deciding, you know, how they feel about your brand and what you're creating.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of, you know, nowadays, especially nowadays, where we have a lot of everything, right? We have a lot of options of everything. We, you know, if we need a spatula, I mean, how many yeah. spatulas can you find in Amazon, right? but nowadays, when you understand the potential of what branding can do for you and your company, you would understand that people no longer buy from brands. People join brands, right? You don't, if you're, are you an Apple person or are you a PC person?
I'm both.
You're both? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But usually, I've got an Apple Mac right now.
Okay. All right. Well, usually when people get a phone, right, they get an iPhone. It's not like they just buy an iPhone. They join Apple, right? They join the group of people who have iPhones, right? Yep. If you wear your Nike shirt, you're joining the brand, right? You're joining the brand. You're representing the brand. You agree with what all they pitch to everybody, right?
Their messaging.
The messaging like and the whole thing. So the ultimate goal of a brand is to have, to become a household name, to have people become part of their cult or their tribe or whatever you want to call them, right? So that's the ultimate, right? Because, you know, getting recurring customers is, what is it, 80% cheaper than getting new customers, right? So people buying from you again and again is the power of branding. And some people are really good at actually creating that, right? So people don't need anybody. They just, their messaging is great and a marketing
they're
company
authentic,
picks
they're
them
community
up
builders, right? Exactly.
It's easy for marketing companies to advertise these people, but that's not the same for all the brands.
Correct. I want to ask a couple of questions, like a little bit more practical questions. Before we do, a reminder that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Canva. With Canva, you can design your ideas with ease, get inspired with over 500,000 free templates and a rich content library that helps you and your team, achieve your goals. Sign up and start designing for free at canva.com. What bad timing. But I can't help it. I wanted to go into like, you know, let's think about this practically just to give people a little bit of an idea on how this, you know, this plays out. You've got a product, you know, maybe you're a VC backed startup, but let's just say you're an Amazon seller. And you're like, I've got some products. I'm moving the needle. I'm seeing sales grow on my account. I've sourced some great products. I've got the keywords right. Must be doing something right, or I wouldn't be selling. But I'm ready to start thinking about building my brand. Maybe competition's gotten cheaper and lower their prices, and that's why you need to build brand. Maybe you're trying to expand off of Amazon. You want to build brand. And they come to you, Rodrigo, and they're saying, hey, like, help me get started. Like, where should we start? I don't even know. You know, what are those first conversations like? What are you looking for in those sellers that makes it exciting, an exciting project to you? Let's just share some of the insights around those early conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing you always do with companies is just you need to know what their goal is, right? Because every company has a different goal and depends on what they want to do and where they want to be at 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Well, each one is going to take a different path. Some people just want to sell on Amazon and, you know, they want to, you know, just grow their, you know, product line and create several, you know, brands. And, you know, we help them with, you know, their visual, because Amazon is more about the visual. You know, the owners usually have a pretty good way to, you know, describe their product and the A+ content and so forth, right? But the first thing you always do with building a brand is find out what the goals are. What do you know? And then from there, we move to the next step. Well, what is the purpose of the brand beyond the monetary purpose? Okay. Because that's really, really important. What's the purpose of the brand beyond making money, beyond just hitting the bottom line, right? So recently we were getting a company that makes shampoo for dogs.
Okay.
No, sorry. It was making some skin product. It was a skin product. It was a shampoo kind of soap for people, right? And then they were also advertising it for babies.
Okay.
And later on, they said that it also worked for dogs. Do you see where the problem is there?
Seems like it.
Their sales plummet, right? So it was just, you know, so then they came to us and we said, okay, good. What is the purpose of your company? What is it? What is your passion? Why did you create this company? Is it for dogs or is it for humans? Because you can't have both, right? So, sorry, but we you have to be very well defined on your positioning, right?
Yeah.
So, and if it's for humans, you can't target babies and adults, you know? It just doesn't work. No one is going to pick that up, right? So they, at the end, well, the person who created this brand was a mom, and she actually did it for babies, right? And it was a great product, right? So I said, well, then let's forget about the adults. Let's just target the baby niche, right? It's a huge market. You don't need to have adults. The baby niche is like there's tons of babies being born every day, every minute, right? So that's the second time. You know, the second thing is the purpose of the brand. You see, every time you start defining that, that's what brand strategy does. It just focus. It's all about focusing into what is that you do, what is that you want to do, and how you're going to do it. And then we need to see, because there is 1,346 baby brands right now selling. So how can we divide the market and figure out what is going to be the best positioning for you? And the further you niche to the minimum viable market, right, the better you're going to do as a brand, because honestly, you don't need everybody to sustain your brand. You just need a little tiny portion that is still, that where you still be able to you know, to serve quite a few people, right, to be able to become profitable.
I think that's great. And I'll share a little personal story that's kind of was one of my first lessons in branding. I was, you know, gaining popularity here in Kansas City and in the entrepreneurial community, the startup community, and just getting involved, networking and things like that. And, you know, it was flattering. But at the same time, it kind of just made me upset a little bit sometimes when I own an apparel brand as well called Landlocked. So I have Marknology, my Amazon agency, you know, that's my, what I do all day, every day. But I have an apparel brand named Landlocked, and it was also doing well. And I would get noticed around town as the t-shirt guy. Okay. So you're the, oh yeah, you have the t-shirts. You have the, oh yeah, they're super cool. They're amazing. Yeah. And I hated it because I was just like, I'm doing so much more than that. I'm doing some really cool stuff on Amazon and e-commerce. Like, this is what I'm passionate about. This was super cool. I don't just make t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just, not that that's a bad thing, but it was, it just didn't love it. Right. So whenever I took a step back to say, okay, it's not that they're getting it wrong, or they're not reading enough, or they're not getting it, or they're not researching my posts enough or to understand what I do. It's that my messaging must be off, right? I'm doing a lot of different things. They're all great. But what am I trying to say? Well, what I wanted to be known as when I was trying to get my start was, if anyone's trying to sell on Amazon, if a brand's going to Amazon, if a manufacturer's going to Amazon, and they're in conversation around Kansas City, I wanted my name to come up in the conversation, right? So if I was doing my job well, they'd be, oh, I know it's someone that's doing Amazon in the city. It's Andrew at Marknology, right? Well, I can't have that and I'm the t-shirt guy at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So it became just, I took a step back and said, hey, why is my messaging coming across this way? Is this what I'm promoting the most? Are these the most visual things that are standing out there? And then, like, you know, the stuff I'm talking about, e-commerce and Amazon, is more content driven with text. I just started looking at it from a bunch of different angles and really realized, okay, my personal brand needs to be my personal brand. And then, you know, my companies need to be split off into their own social medias, having their own messaging and getting more niche in each of those ways. And, you know, before long, I really started hitting some momentum and, you know, referrals are picking up, and everyone knows if there's someone that needs Amazon, it's Andrew at Marknology. But that was one that it took me a few months, I think, of just like kind of hearing those comments to be like, something's off with my messaging, something's off with, you know, how I'm positioning myself, and then to go back to the drawing board and make changes. So I don't know if that resonates with you, but I think a lot of people can, it's not, you know, you have to put ego aside. If you're the creator yourself, it's a lot easier when you're just managing someone else's brand to be like neutral about it and not feel emotional. But when it's your own brand, you really have to put ego aside and say, what is the market telling me? What is the data telling me about my products or my brand? What are people feeling whenever they come in contact with my brand or my people, instead of what you think they're feeling? I think you started off our conversation kind of with that and the importance of it. But if you're trying to create a sustainable brand, I think it's really, really important that at first, and so you can pivot and you can, I think you can change at once you have a brand in place. Okay. So you see this all the time with music artists. You know, they'll be known for one thing for 10 years, 15 years, get a big customer or a big fan base, and then switch to rock music or to something completely different than what they were doing, folk music or something, and they'll still be successful. That's because they built trust and a following and a brand at first, very, very specific. And now that they're at that level of success, can try some of these different things. But at the beginning, I don't think you should be trying human and pet and baby and all those kinds of things. You need to stick with one, kind of get known for that, and then you can build on that. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, that makes totally sense. you always have to be, people will remind you for one thing, and that's true. You know, Michael Jordan was a great golf player, right? But we don't remember Michael Jordan from being a great golf player. We know him, but he was the king of basketball, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know, that's just one of that, an example. When I ask you, well, what does Sony mean to you? What do you think?
Sony?
Mm-hmm.
Electronics.
Electronics, right. Okay, but it doesn't really, it's not like something
it's broad.
Specific.
It's broad, right?
They have.
I think TVs,
screw up
I think.
Their branding, you know?
Yeah.
It's an example of what you're not supposed to do. They were into music and movies and cameras
keyboards,
and computers yep. and keyboards and TVs, and they are all over the place. And now they, what are they good? What is it? What is it that they do?
What are they right? known for? Don't what? Know.
I don't know. They do great cameras. To me, Sony means cameras because that's what I use, right? So, at some point, they had their Bio, which was the laptop that was like the coolest thing ever back in the early 2000s. And, you know, but then you go into, okay, so what does Apple mean to you? Well, it's computers, it's iPhones, right? It's very simple, right? So
let's talk about that. Can I jump in there and talk
yeah,
about
sure.
the kind of the Apple comparison?
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
you know, you're saying a lot of people, whenever they choose, they're one or the other, Apple or PC, there's no
mm-hmm.
mix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started out building computers when I was very little. You know, I'm 35. I think I was like 8 or 9 when I was building my first computers with my dad, and Mac wasn't a thing. So you built desktops, you know, plugging in these, you know, ports and getting the frame, and PCs were how I got my start. If you go to school for IT as well, you go to school with PCs. There's not Macs in school, at least like in the IT when you're first getting started, because all the software programs, all of these things you had to have a PC computer, and it's still the case in a lot of jobs. But as I started becoming, and I was devout. You know, I didn't want Mac. I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't have a Mac computer. But as I changed to being an entrepreneur and a content creator, because you have to create your own media company a lot of times within your business to be able to produce content at a high level, or you hire an agency or a firm to do that. But for me, it was a lot cheaper to build my own team and become my own media team. Well, as I'm kicking out podcasts and Instagram posts and tweets and, you know, all these kinds of things where we're becoming a branding agency as well, Apple beat Mac, beat PC in that regard, right? The connectivity. What are they known for? They're known for ease of use, connectivity,
That's
everything
right.
working really well together. So maybe I can't customize my phone, my Android, and take it all apart, you know, and like do all of these open source things. But what I needed was my time started mattering more to me. And so efficiency and ease of use became what I needed. And Mac stood out for that, you know? So I think just to bring that home and why I use both, and kind of, it was as my needs changed, I looked to the brand that solved for those things. And then I went there.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I'm going to give you an example, right? So let's say that I make dressing for salad, right? But also I make chemical products for cleaning, right? And would you really feel confident buying from me, you know, dressing salad? You know,
no.
But you know, that's really Clorox, you know,
yeah.
Clorox owns Hidden Valley, right? So Clorox makes ranch. But obviously they sell it under a different brand, right?
Yep.
So completely separated, right? Clorox
That's
makes
how you separate.
Cleaning products and Hidden Valley makes dressing for salad, right? And they have complete separate messaging and complete different companies, right? So that's what you do. I mean, if you want to be selling things for dogs and babies, well, you're going to have to create two different brands for that, right? Each one with different messagings, each one with different positionings, and never mix them, because people will remember you for one thing.
I think one thing that's important is, like, I see it with my friend group. I see it with a lot of people I talk to. You know, they'll talk about, well, you know, I wouldn't move into this house. You know, I'm also in short-term rentals and, like, property management. I own another business in Kansas City as well that works in that area. So Airbnb.
You are a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I'm all over the place, Rodrigo. I tell you, Martinology is my bread and butter, but, like, Airbnbs and short-term rentals are a lot like e-commerce, right? Yeah. You take great photos, you design a great product, and you have a great brand. Everything is booked online, automation, reviews, messaging. It's just like another marketplace. That's really great. The difference is that the products are homes, right? Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I'll talk to my friends about this place. Okay, it's cool, but the bedrooms are small. You know, I think a lot of times they're thinking through their frame of reference. Like, would this be, most people are like, you know, they assume, like, would I move here? Would this place be good for me? Right. And whenever you're in branding or marketing, you start to realize that that's not always the case. You can't just see through the eyes of Andrew, right? Whenever you're designing something.
Right.
And for every home, there's a different, customer out there for that home, right? It could be a single dad with a daughter needing a small two bedroom, you know, but he needs to be within a certain zip code or a rent. It could be three college roommates. It could be, you know, a solo guy or woman that just want an office as their extra room, you know, so the size of the rooms don't matter. What you really start realizing is, like, there's so many different customers, you know, out there. So you have to figure out, in my Airbnbs, I actually have three models, and this is something I'm working on right now. I have kind of this very high end, like a high dollar amount per night, like in nice areas of town, very luxurious, very, like, premium. I have, like, probably the homes I would live in, like just your standard home, two bedroom, one bath, or three bedroom, one bath, something like that. Less like more like a residential neighborhood kind of places. And then I have more of, like, the hostel, right? Which is the hostel kind of model, which is like four or five rooms. You just rent out the room and then there's common space, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's three different customers. So I'm running one business. Right. I have three different customers. We're trying to diversify and test and see what works and what doesn't. But as I'm looking at pricing, as I'm looking at messaging, as I'm looking at amenities and what's included, I'm really trying to learn each of them. And I think that at times I've been really good at hitting each kind of customer market. And at other times I'm applying broad changes that don't work that way. And it needs to be very specific and really change that. So that's a problem I'm working on right now, in regards to just getting it dialed in, you know, getting the messaging and the content just a little bit better for those customers that I'm selling to, with the different models. So thanks for letting me share that. But just another real example, a real life example of messaging and trying to get it right. You know, you're not selling the same thing to everyone. There's a different customer at all different levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touch upon Airbnb. Airbnb is a very interesting business model because they have two different target audiences. Mm. One is the people who rent, and two are the renters, right?
Yep.
So if you see the promotions, the first thing they started to do was they were putting most of their marketing into, you know, targeting the millennials, because usually it's the millennial target audience who wanted to rent, you know, houses, right? But then they run into a problem, and that's that there were not that many renters. So right now, Airbnb, if you see all their ads, are it's called, I forgot the name, but it's called Made Possible By. Is the new ad, which is made possible by, you know, the renters, right? The people who are offering their houses. And okay. This is all they're doing right now because they probably don't have enough people. But that's, you know, it's just an interesting story there.
Interesting. Yeah, I think a lot of other companies have caught up in regards to, like, hotels and apartments and VCs and forward thinking, like, equity firms and hotels, that as they, like, have open rooms, they've been like, oh, we used to have a policy to say, no, like, you know, we're competing with that. And then they've, you know, they've started out with the, like the Homes by Hilton and these like boutiques that are more like an Airbnb than anything else. So it's created some competition in the market, much like on Amazon. When you first started on Amazon, it was free, it was blue ocean. You could just get on there and sell, and it was super easy. You didn't really have to do much. Now you have to, you know, you have Chinese sellers undercutting your pricing. Well, how do you compete with Chinese sellers? Well, you have American branding. You have localized branding, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to Germany, you need to have localized branding in Germany. It's a completely different customer. So these are the things, like with any new innovation or, you know, there's a time to be first and it's easy. It's kind of just like you're there first and you're winning. But ultimately, it comes back to the same basics of just being super efficient, doing very well with your branding and your storytelling and your follow-up, your customer retention. You know, that's a move in Airbnb right now, which is Airbnb kind of owns your customers as well, similar to Amazon. So it's on you as a, you know, as a host or a host running, you know, 14, 15 properties to say, hey, how do we collect our customers' information, maybe even locally in the apartments or the homes, so that we can message them again and get them coming back and back and back, similar to like any other model. So as you learn one, Amazon, you can see like there's a lot of learnings to take right into Airbnb if you've done one or the other and understand how it works. But I wanted to say to the to your comment about the millennials, as hosts, as someone running a business, you know, Airbnb business, and it helped me get through my early years of entrepreneurship. You know, I'd rent out my place and stay at my sister's house or my friend's house to be able to make a few hundred dollars that weekend, you know, and get by. Because when I started on Amazon, there weren't a lot of people looking for Amazon help. Honestly, it was very new. But the millennial customer really understood how Airbnbs work. They were good at it. They didn't ask a lot of questions. They just boom, boom. They were trendy. They were savvy. They're tech friendly. They knew what they were doing. As they started expanding, as Airbnb has gotten more popular and more well-known, and they've started to go to an older customer and a younger customer and non-millennials, which is smart. But what they've started to do is now as a host, we deal with a lot more customers that need more education. They've never checked into a house with a keypad on the front door or managed their own, like, you know, streaming services or been in the kitchen, you know, looking for stuff where it is. So the millennials were kind of like trained very well, and it was an easy business to run when they were the customer. But as the customer's gotten bigger, it's really created challenges for us as hosts.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Right. It's messaging. What that made for us is whenever we're sending out emails or instructions, we have to be way more detailed, maybe start labeling things at the house, like, you know, a different strategy. And I think that that's, I could tell story after story after story of brands on Amazon where they think they have a certain customer market. They get, you know, data back. They get customer data back. And they're like, wow, our customer is actually like 30 years older than we thought or 20 years older than we thought. And, you know, and so you start changing the way you're approaching everything, either to get that younger customer you wanted or to now start speaking to the customer you already have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, a little bit of a rant there, but I get excited about the subject. And, you know, it's a very challenging thing across almost any business, whether it's your personal brand, an Amazon brand, a retail brand, a real estate brand. We deal with a lot of the same challenges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every business. Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up. Like let's, I'm going to have you share with our listeners, you know, what's something that you guys are super excited about that you guys are doing at Prince Precipium. What is something that, you guys are working toward, you're excited about, or something to share even with our listeners that are looking to get started into branding?
Well, it's when you are in the business of branding, you got to understand a lot of culture and all that, you know, how diverse this world is. Sometimes we like to look at the world from our little tiny, you know, exposure to what we believe is life. Yeah. The most interesting thing when you get into branding is how huge, how amazing is the amount of people who believe different things and how they group together, right? And it's so exciting to take a brand who has no personality, who is confused, you know? Just like when see somebody that really, someone who doesn't have a well-defined personality, and you don't really, it's hard for you to connect with them, right? Or with him or her, whatever. it's just that, you know, it's kind of like introvert and he doesn't really know who he is. And, you know, so if, when you give a personality to this person, a voice, you know, a story, you start getting a little bit more, that person starts becoming a little bit more interesting, right? And it's not any different for brands. We love to take brands that are confused of who they are confused of what their goal is, and just give them, you know, this personality, the voice, their face, you know, and see the results, the conversions, spiking up, you know, the people engaging with them for the first time in social media. We work mainly with, you know, e-commerce brands, but we have also, take, you know, chiropractors, we have worked with dentists, we have worked with lawyers, you know, just that's what happens when you are in the branding business. And it's just very exciting to us, you know, to work with that kind of, with so much of diverse aspects, and, you know, trying to understand, you know, their target audience and how they should position and give them a different angle, right? Because sometimes, I don't know, but when I go to Amazon and I start going through company after company, and then people start copying each other, and it just, everything looks the same, right? Everything looks the same. Like, you know, do you go to the gym?
Yes.
Okay. So supplements, right? Everything looks the same, right? And then there's this one company called Ghost, which is, yep, is a new company, and they just go completely different, right?
but their Amazon listings look horrible.
Oh, really? I haven't seen them.
Okay. Because I'm
they didn't start on Amazon.
I reached out to them on Instagram, and I've told them, I love your stuff. I love your product. It's in my cabinet. But your Amazon listings look horrible. We need to have a conversation. So right. No, I'm not sponsored. I'm just shouting them out. Yeah.
No, they're great. I mean, they have a great product, right? But
yeah.
But, you know, they came and they went completely the other opposite, right? So when in a sea of blue, just become red. In a sea of red, become blue. You know, just change. You know, and make sure that your change is actually going to be appealable to your target audience. But be different.
I love that advice.
Be yourself.
I love that advice. I think it's something that it took me a really long time to learn as a person. You know, I was raised in Africa, lived in Hawaii, missionary family. I grew up in Africa till I was 16. So I think growing up abroad does give you, you have to learn how to adapt to, let's say, American culture or a different culture. Once you, if you're an immigrant. And I think that in some ways, makes you just think differently about messaging and frame of reference, and that there's, you know, all different kinds of people instead of just being in, like, you know, how you've always grown up or seen. Mm-hmm. So I think it does give us a level up in regards to just seeing how the different, you know, so many different parts of the world sell and buy differently. Right. To give you the ability to kind of step outside yours and be like, you know, you could be selling to Mexican Americans here in the US and targeting Mexican Americans, right? With maybe some Spanish messaging, maybe like a product that's very popular back home that you're trying to sell here. Like, you know, there's so many things you can do in this country alone to speak to the different types of people here. That's a lot of fun. I could talk about this subject forever because it's just, you know, I love e-commerce in general. I love all of e-commerce, but I saw an opportunity to be different and focus on Amazon in the early days, you know, before anyone was really doing it. And it was, this is a way to be different. This is a way to stand out in e-commerce. I think it's going to be important. I took a risk and it's turned out to be a big marketplace. I've grown along with Amazon, but that was like, okay, opportunity, how can I be different? And then, you know, PPC and all these things mattered. And what I saw was missing was branding. In the Amazon space, and there's a huge lack of it. I hope a lot of the people that have copied are copying my work. Honestly, I saw a video come out locally this week here in Kansas City that I was like pretty sure they're copying a video I made and you know, was promoting with one of my brands. You know, they say imitation is flattery. It's still annoying. But, you know, when you're looking, it just, you know, it's not about like having one great idea. I think that's the difference, is that like, that's what I like about branding and helping people's stories come to life, is that we're always working with something different. We're always trying to take a new spin, a new angle on it. and see it from a different way and say, hey, how can we tell this story a little bit differently? How can we do the photos a little bit differently? There's a product that we have that's like very similar to a lot of other products. It was kind of a big challenge I gave the team. And it was, you know, I don't want to say what kind of product it was, but if you were to search it, you would just see a whole bunch of brands and products. It was one of those kind of like trends, like move to Amazon. And how do we stand out? Almost everyone's main photo was exactly the same, right? And at so many times I talked to sellers that were like, I used to be the only one, I was killing it. And now like there's so many copies of me and, you know, they're struggling. It's like, well, we have to continue to be innovative, you know?
Right.
And so this product was actually called Comfort Hero. And, you know, I just had this idea of standing out, like, let's do cartoons. Okay. Like, let's do this like hero, this animated, this superhero for comfort. Right. And it would just be like a kind of spin instead of traditional photography and all these kinds of things. It didn't cost us that much more. Right. But it was a way to just in a subtle way across all of our messaging, kind of create this fictional hero that we could then use to sell the product. Right. And it's just kind of fun and engaging. And it worked out really well. But that was like a real outside the box way of just saying, hey, we have to be different. How do we stand out? How do we be blue when everyone else is red? Yeah. So thanks for letting me share. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I love what we do. And I can tell that you do too. And it really comes across that way. You know, some people are operational, you know, and it's like they can source a product really well. They can be super organized. They can outsource all their VAs and be super processed and have SOPs. But a lot of times those people that are really good in that area lack the ability to be creative and think outside the box. And, you know, and so that's where you need help. That's when you need to go find someone that's creative. Other people are naturally really creative and they create a brand and they go viral on social media without hardly trying. Well, those people are typically the people that need help being organized, you know, and getting in the process. So, you know, it's a lot of fun figuring out exactly what people are trying to do, what their needs are to help them create a sustainable brand.
That's absolutely. Well, and that's why, you know, sometimes it's very hard to find how can we be different, right? And here is one thing that you can utilize to become different. And this is how to become a sustainable brand, right? I don't know if you, very few sellers on Amazon have realized that Amazon is rewarding brands that are becoming sustainable. And they're actually now getting a badge, a badge called Climate Pledge Friendly. And if you look at those badges, at the products that have those badges, they are best-selling products.
Yep.
Almost every single one. They are number 5 in the black category, number 100 in the black category. I mean, nowadays, being in the 100 on Amazon, it's like you won the gold pot, right?
Yep.
So, and the reason why is because the world is moving towards becoming a sustainable brand. Now, what is sustainable brand? Well, it's an ethical brand. It's a brand that, you know, whatever you're doing, you're focusing, identifying, integrating environmental, economical, and social issues into the operations of your business. And that's what sustainable branding is, right? You are choosing to have packaging that is recyclable, choosing to have a company to make your whatever product is...
Your poly bags are recyclable or your inserts are recyclable.
But not only recyclable, non-GMO food, right? No MSG. That's also, you know, sustainable. That's also considered to be sustainable. Every brand is different. Every product is different. It's hard to tell how... You know, well, everybody goes recyclable. Okay, but that's not the only thing people can do,
true,
right? Because pretty much everything, even the boxes of Amazon are recyclable. But there is different things. Like, for example, Dell. Dell is using now to produce their products, I think 90% of renewable energy from solar panels, right? Starbucks has... is using water conservation in the way they, you know, produce their coffee, right? It's also using reusable packaging, and they are doing a lot of reforestation, right?
Yeah.
But for normal brands, for, you know, the brands out there in Amazon, there is a very, it's very simple to become, it's not, it's a very simple, yet it's a very complex.
It takes time.
It takes time to become sustainable, but you know, it's something you have to add as part of your
values,
your future goals as a brand.
Yeah.
And here's why. Consumers are four times more likely to purchase from a company with strong values. 77% are concerned about the environmental impact of the products they buy. 60% rate sustainability as an important purchasing criteria. And the more we advance in time, right now the main buying force in America are the millennials, right? And right behind us, there are the Gen Zs that are coming. Gen Zs, right? This generation is much more environmental aware than even millennials, right?
Yes.
In a few years, like if you're playing the long game, right? Not just the, I'm going to sell for 2 years and just leave or whatever, but if you really want to grow outside Amazon, becoming a sustainable brand is the way to do it. Amazon is going to reward you. You're going to have free publishing. You know, Forbes can pick you up just because you say that, you know, you find a way to cut cost on your production by using 85% less water. You're going to get free press. There's so many things that you're going to get as a reward to become eco-friendly brand, you know, and people really like these brands, right?
Yep.
And the figures I gave you are from a Shopify recent survey. So it's not just like, you know, whatever. This is real figures. And when people come to us, sometimes they're like, okay, well, we're trying to find an angle. How can we become more, you know, how can we gain some momentum among, you know, people to buy from us, or, you know, and we always, you know, say, well, let's find what angle, right? Sometimes just adding some eco-friendly
messaging
into your messaging and positioning is going to make a huge difference, right? And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's very simple, but yet it's very complex, because you cannot just grab some packaging and just make it, you know, and put your bottle of, vitamin C serum into it and just say that you're an eco-friendly brand, right? People will pick up on that. It will backlash pretty badly on you, you know? And it's really important for people when they are becoming sustainable to be very transparent, because in order for you to, for example, if you're gonna, they want to get this badge on Amazon of, it's called the Climate Pledge Friendly badge, right? You have to provide third-party certification data that, you know, you are in fact, your product is in fact sustainable.
Yeah, no, this is good. And you know, we're coming up on time, so I have to round this out, but we're talking about how to build a sustainable brand. And I think that's an amazing angle. And a lot of times brands are doing the right things. They're just not using it in press, or they're not using it in their story. And it's about finding those things about businesses. You know, there's one we're working with right now that work with second chance workers, where, you know, they do a lot of their hires are for, you know, people coming out of jail or prison and help them find work and assimilate back into our society. And that's a huge thing. It's an amazing thing. And so, you know, we're working with them to kind of subtly, humbly, add that into their messaging, you know, where people can understand what they're doing back for the community that they're buying from. I think that's an amazing thing. I can't wait to help that story come to life. But I got to round us out here as we're coming up on the hour. And once again, a big thank you to today's episode sponsor, Canva. With Canva, you can work together from wherever. Get on the same page as your team with seamless real-time collaboration. What will you design today? Explore and start designing for free at canva.com. Rodrigo, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
I'm sure it's going to be the last time we connect.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.